Welcome to the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman and sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. Sid is a certified nutritionist, health coach, and author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press. Sid is also the programs director at the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, one of the most holistic and integrated wellness centers in the country. The Approaching the Natural podcast explores all aspects of human health, including nutrition, movement, mindfulness, art, and much more.
Hello and welcome, everybody. Sid Garza-Hillman here once again. I bring you each week this podcast dedicated to breaking the trend of the quick fix and the diet mentality and coming at health and happiness in what I think is a different way, but what I think is a way that appeals more to our natural design, how we're designed to exist on this earth. My philosophy, and at the end of the day, this is a philosophy podcast, a philosophy of health podcast. I believe that the closer we get to bringing back a little bit of what's more natural to us by degrees, the better we do. And knowing that, of course, we're not all going to go back into the forest, that's fine. But in the modern world, we can still exist in the modern world and just creep in a little more, sneak in a little more of what's more natural to us. And that's with regards to food and movement and even creativity and how we think and how we relate to other people and all those kinds of things. So we go deep in that. If you're just joining me for the first time, I'm glad you're here. But I do urge you to go back and listen to some other episodes. And anybody who's been with me for a while or whatever, go back, because they're not chronological. One doesn't lead into the next one. It's weekly musings, some interviews. I just kind of let it roll. And that's how that rolls. So go back and, check in. Go, I want to listen to that one again. Whatever. The idea here is that I am hoping to help people with this podcast and my book, which is called Approaching the Natural, a Health Manifesto, and my private practice. I'm helping people to bring in the concepts of health and happiness more into their everyday lives, more into their thinking, a backdrop to their lives. And when you do that, you can then begin to make better choices that are more in line with what I believe is our natural design. You might disagree with me, but you'd be wrong. That's a total joke, but you really would be wrong. Anyway, so before I get started with this week's episode, I do the quick 30-second or maybe more deal, but I try to get through it fast. But Instagram and Twitter, if you feel like following me, at Sid Garza-Hillman, Facebook, Transitioning to Health. My private practice is Transitioning to Health. You find that transitioningtohealth.net. I am a certified nutritionist and health coach. I work with people all over the country. I can work with people all over the world. I do it via Skype and or phone. I have a very unique way of my practice, and I get people who ask like what that actually involves, and it's hard for me to describe. I mean, obviously, you can read what my services I offer, but I was thinking about today. I was like, I basically offer what you kind of get is like your own personal podcast. My model is that I don't hand you a diet. I don't even hand you a plan. I hand you something and then I say, don't follow this. This is a conversation piece. We're going to get deep in this and we're going to work out small steps that you can take. I am the small step advocate, trademarked. And I work with people to do it, come in it that way, to add in, to figure out what steps you can do that you can continue to do for the rest of your life, or that you could, steps that aren't adding stress to your life. I believe that if you turn your life upside down for anything, plan-wise, health-wise, you won't sustain it. And that's proven by statistics. 95% of diets fail. And I believe it's because it's an unrealistic behavior. It's not who you are. It can become who you are, but that takes time. And so I go deep into that. So if you want to know what it's like to work with me, it's we work for a minimum of a month and we talk almost daily, depending on what you sign up for. And it'll change the rest of your life. That's a fact. Do I promise 10 pounds in a month? No, I don't, because I don't think that's what really we're looking for. I think we're looking for health and happiness. And when you achieve that, however long it takes you, you will get the healthy weight that you want, and you will get the healthy skin that you want. You'll get the healthy hair that you want. You'll get the increased happiness that you want, and that we do go to diets for, but they will not deliver that. And so that's where I go. I'm actually thinking, if anybody wants to get back to me on this, of offering a group service. I don't know if my fee you know, maybe prohibitive. I mean, I spend a ton of time with you. So, but I was offering, like, if you husband and wife wanted to do it, or if you've got three friends and you're all kind of on the same page and you don't mind sharing some, you know, intimate stuff during the week, because stuff comes, you know, during the day, stuff comes up. You know, let me know if that's of interest to you. So I might float something like that where you could all split the cost or, you know, something like that. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. The first Saturday of every month is, I do offer a free Spreecast, and I want to emphasize free. It's Spreecast, Spreecast, .com. Search under Sid Garza Hillman. RSVP. The next one is April 5th. And it's at noon Pacific Standard Time in the United States. But anywhere in the world, you can jump in. And basically what it is, you'll see me on video and I talk and everybody can hear me. And you can type in questions. And I'll float the question up onto the screen so everybody can see it. And I'll answer it, hopefully. Or I won't if I don't. I mean, if you ask me about prescription drugs, I won't answer. That's called responsible. Because I'm not trained in drug therapy. And yet there's people who are but aren't trained in nutrition who are doling out nutrition. Oops, don't get me started. Did I say that out loud? I'll edit that out later. This podcast is sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. And they have a wellness center for which I am the program's director. I am the staff nutritionist there as well. We run retreats throughout the year. You got to come up. People are signing up and they're super cool. You get in deep, but also you get to stay in an amazing place with an ocean view and fireplaces and a plant-based restaurant, which is awesome. And there's cooking and nutrition classes and gardening classes and Tai Chi and yoga. Anyway, it sells itself. So there you go. But they sponsor this podcast. They keep me going. I appreciate the Stanfords, Joan and Jeff, immensely for what they allow me to do. And they've been real supportive of the book and me going out and speaking, and they're always like, go, you know, they're never like, you gotta be here at work. You know, they're always like, they just want me to get out there because they have, we have similar values. So that's pretty cool. It's a great place to work. The website, stanfordinn.com and livingwellmendocino.com. But you can also email me if you have any questions about my private practice or me in, or for the website or for the podcast. You have any questions, podcast at transitioningtohealth.net. podcast@transitioningtohealth.net. As always, if you dig what I'm doing here, you like the book, throw me a review. I appreciate people who have done that already. Just click on iTunes or click on Amazon real quick. Go on there, Approaching the Natural Health Manifesto, and throw me a review if you dig the book. If you don't, then I don't have to tell you. Go get a book on paleo. Good night. Anyway, I don't know. I'm in kind of a crazy mood today. This could be like a 7-8 minute podcast and you're done. And everyone's just like, what the hell was that? God, he's losing his mind. I am in my studio downstairs, which is, I've been doing most of the podcasting these days from the Stanford Inn. I had it all set up, but to give you an insight into, you know, the life of a podcaster, because it's very, very glamorous. I don't know if you know that about podcasting, but the group of us are just, it's the new Hollywood. I mean, you think, you know, it's the new Hollywood. The podcasters were the rock stars of the world. So I came home to do it in my studio, which basically is a little section of my basement where my music stuff is set up. In fact, I'm looking at my 1993 Gibson Les Paul Special, which I've had since I bought it new. But I had to come home because I had to do grocery shopping for the kids. So that's the glamorous life that I live. I was like, oh, I guess I'll broadcast from home, or podcast from home, as the case may be. As a side note, because I will. This is not a joke. 8 months ago, well, about 9 months ago, I didn't even know really what a podcast was. I had heard about podcasting, but I didn't know the extent of what it is, how it was broadcast, how to even subscribe. Like, I didn't know any of that, and I was on Rich Roll's podcast in February of last year. The book had just come out. The publicist was like, yeah, Rich Roll, you know, he wants you on his podcast. And I was like, that's great. And I had obviously met Rich Roll, knew of him before because he blurbed the back of my book. He's a best-selling author of a great, great book, by the way, Finding Ultra. So if you haven't read that book, go get it. Super cool guy. But anyhow, I was on his podcast. I didn't even know. I showed up and I was like, oh yeah, great podcast. Like, I didn't even know the extent of how big that podcast was or who would even listen to these things, but he's got a huge following. Sorry, I'm adjusting things on my desk. Anyway, it turned out to be cool. I was like, God, this is pretty awesome. No censorship, you know, like it's free form. It's, you don't have to stop for ads, you know, and commercials, and, you know, you never hear me go, sorry, we're backed again with Zone, you know, like the radio kind of thing. Like, this is just, it's a pretty amazing format, and I totally appreciate it. With that said, one of the podcasts I listened to when I was learning about podcasting and had thought about doing it, because I figured that would be a fun thing for me to do in line with my personality, I was listening to the WTF podcast with Mark Maron. It's a good podcast. If you listen to it and you dig it, send him an email and tell him I sent you over there. I've never met him, but I appreciate what he does. There, you will may hear in the near future, there is some litigation against podcasting by people who claim to hold the patent for podcasting, even though they did it and got it long before podcasting was even, you know, a glimmer in anyone's eye. But what they're claiming is that they sort of have a monopoly on this technology, and they're starting to sue. And they sued, filed a lawsuit with Adam Carolla in his podcast. They're going after the big guys, obviously, the guys that are generating income. I'm not one of them. If you've seen my minivan, there's just no surprise there. Or you say, what's he doing with the money? They ain't going to his minivan. Anyway, Mark Maron has been getting threatening letters to, you know, my podcast is growing. This could happen to me. It is going to be a travesty if people are shutting down podcasting. This, to me, is the next generation of free speech. I'm reaching people in over 50 countries now. And the idea of me not being able to do this is frightening to me. So if this is of interest to anybody and you appreciate this form, do a little research. I should have done the research on, I think it's called Fund Anything. Fund Anything or Fund Everything. It's a website, and you can donate to Adam Carolla's legal fund. He is the one who has been sued so far. And I'm sure that whatever the outcome of that is, there's going to be a precedent set for other podcasts to follow. We're not making money. You know, we're not driving Rolls Royces around there. Okay. I love podcasting. I mean, this is like the best thing besides writing the book. This has been just an incredibly fulfilling act. It's not a moneymaker for me. I make my living as a health coach. And I do get clients from this, and that's great for me too. But I really love this medium. I love being able to connect with people literally all over the world. I got an email from a girl in Sweden recently who, you know, got turned onto the podcast, and it's just like, I hear that, and it's just like, what cooler? You can't even do that on radio. I mean, it's just awesome. So it needs to be protected. And that's as political as I'll get on here. And moving on. So I did I taught a class today at the Wellness Center, which I do often. And there was a good question. Sometimes I like to share questions. This is not giving away anything confidential. And this question has come up a lot of times. I thought it was interesting how it was framed today. I was talking about, of course, you know, heavy box foods. If you're not familiar, I format kind of the idea of healthy food in terms of a box, and I describe this in the book. Oh, one last thing. You can, this will actually school you on what I'm talking about, but if you go to my website, transitioningtohealth.net, you put your email address in, you can download a free chapter from my book, the chapter that is on nutrition. I believe it literally is all you need to know about nutrition. It's not that complicated. What's complicated, and this is kind of an aside, but what's complicated is, and what I tell people with my private clients is, my nutrition approach is literally 10 to 20% of my work with clients. They get nutrition very quickly. I have distilled it into ways that are so easily understandable. The issue is not about what to eat. It's how to have the behaviors to continue eating these things for the rest of your life. The very thing that diets do not tell you. That's why I continue with people for a minimum of a month, because if I hand you something, you're not going to stick to it. Why? Because you're not trained to. You don't know what that's like. It's not, it's foreign to you. And actually, it's for people, oftentimes, it's stressful, the very stress that can undo any benefit that a healthy diet will give you. If you're very stressed and you're chronically stressed by what you're eating every day, and you have lists of things you can and can't eat and all these rules and regulations, and that's how you see them as restrictions, then that's going to undo any benefit of eating good food. What I rather advocate is that you start bringing things in and you start looking at things as a gift, that you are starting to live more in line with your natural design. And it's because you may or may not, but you, if you're doing it, I'm hoping that you want to make a change in your life for the better. You want to be healthier and happier. And therefore, you're going to start moving in that direction. And if, like I've said, if listening to this podcast is the thing that you do right now to just get you thinking, even if you think just for this hour and you don't think about it for the rest of the week, fine. I mean, I'm not kidding. This is a place to start. You're listening to this podcast and you might be on a treadmill and you might be running and you might be sitting on a couch, you might be in a car. The fact is that you're listening to me and you're thinking about it. You might be wandering off for a minute in your brain, but you're coming back. In fact, get back. Stop thinking about the Pop-Tarts. Get back here. That's right. Okay, good. Continue thinking about this, even if it's for 5 minutes. This is where it starts. And this is why it's like the least sexy podcast, because I'm not giving you Hallmark lines. I'm not going, you know what, guys? Think positive. Think positive. Okay, that's great. Rest of my life, I got it. I can now think positive. If somebody had just told me not to think crappy thoughts, I totally wouldn't have been wasting my time for the last 45 years getting down on myself for stuff. The fact of the matter is, it begins with small steps, so that if you can say, I'm going to drink a glass of water in the morning, or I can, you know, walk across the hallway and back if I haven't moved before, and that's where I start. That is where it starts. It's just what it is. Now, other people, I want to be clear that other people have, their small steps are bigger because their lives are such that they're, you know, fed up. You know, I've always said my best clients are the ones that are just like, I'm not doing a diet ever again. And they're like, give it to me. I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to roll. You tell me, I'll do anything. You know, so I've had people call me with stage 4 cancer. Their small steps are huge. Their small steps are like one step of doing everything all at once. There's no stress for them in that because they're ready to take it on. If there's stress for you in that, then my job as a health coach is to rein you back in. And go, that's, you're getting stressed out by that. We're going to remove that step. And we're also going to say that it has nothing to do with failure. We're going to say removing that step is more of about success, because you're getting to know yourself and what you're ready to handle and what you're not, and what you're ready to take on and not. And the knowing about yourself, learning about yourself, is always a positive direction. So it might look like removing a step is failure, but it's actually success if it's in the direction of you getting to know what you're able to take on and not. And that's one of the biggest obstacles, by the way, and I want you to understand this week to week as you listen to this podcast, is that it is partly assessing, and it's getting away from, you know, when you do a diet, it's external to you. And so if you don't follow it to the letter, you are failing in the context of that diet. But if you do small steps and you begin adding things in at a rate that's not stressful for you, and you add some things in that add a little bit of stress, all of a sudden you're like, I'm kind of dreading the walk, the 15-minute walk that I built into my life. Well, tomorrow I'm kind of dreading that. To back off away from that and go back down to 5 minutes is not failure at all, because it's continuing the forward momentum. And it's and by the way, the act of offloading stress for you, and this is going to speak to what I'm going to discuss this week, the act of offloading stress, the act of saying, this walk is stressful for me, and so I'm going to back off because I don't want to add stress to my life and my body. That's a positive act. That's an act of self-care. That's an act of truly long-term taking care of yourself. Even though that health fitness plan might say 15 minutes a walk, you're like, you know what? That's not in charge of me. I'm in charge of me. That's too stressful for me. And I don't want that kind of stress in my life. I want to ease my way in. So I'm going to back it off, because I know that this isn't going to be done in 21 days. This isn't going to be done in 30 days. This isn't going to be done in 2 months. This could be years. I'm 40 years old. Not me hypothetically. I mean, me hypothetically, because I'm not 40. I'm 24. I'm 45. fine. But it's years that have led you to where you are. I don't care how old you are. It's years. And it's what you do most of the time. So to make adjustments in your life, in your behavior, is going to take a long time to overcome. It's actually faster than you think, and it go and you and along the way you see the benefit, and it's pretty awesome. But it's a long-term prospect. It's not a 10-day juice cleanse. Sorry. I'm sure that all of you out here, out there listening to me right now, are either in the group of people who've done this or know somebody who's done this, who's gone from cleanse to cleanse or cleanses periodically, and they gain back all the weight and then some. And during that time, they get complimented and all that kind of stuff. And then they gain it all back and they feel crappy about themselves. I don't like that. I don't like it. It doesn't add to your health and happiness. If it doesn't add to your health and happiness, I ain't into it. Okay? I don't even know how you got me started on that. Okay? This is not cool that you guys make me go on tangents. It's not. I don't appreciate it. Okay. So in this class, somebody asked me about red wine. And you know, of course, I'm talking about heavy box foods. And of course, the red wine thing comes up a lot. But what about red wine, right? Because we've been told that the French, you know, drink red wine and they're healthier than we are. Now, the thing about heavy box foods, it's heavy box foods are foods that with the calories, they come with a whole bunch of other stuff in the box of calories. This is a short story. Download my chapter. You'll know what I'm talking about. Red wine is not a heavy box. It has some things in it. It has some antioxidants in it. Does it have more than the grape itself? Not by a long shot. And the thing about the grape is it also has no alcohol, by the way, and it also has fiber, and it also has, you know, a ton more phytochemicals and antioxidants and vitamins and minerals and all the things that nourish us. Wine pales in comparison. If you like red wine, drink red wine. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying don't drink red wine because you were told that the French are healthier and therefore it must be because of the red wine. Of course it can't be because maybe the French walk around, move more in their lifestyles. Maybe they're more relaxed. Maybe they don't work. Maybe as much as we, maybe they don't work. Maybe they don't have the schedules that Americans do or other cultures. Okay. Maybe they eat less. Even if they're eating kind of light box foods, maybe they don't consume as much. The thing is, the number one killer of French people is heart disease, by the way. And also they do this a lot. That's got to hurt them. The French drink red wine. I drink coffee. And I'm as healthy as I want to be. It has nothing to do with the fact that I drink coffee. And I've said that before, and I'll say it again. I like scotch on occasion. It's not the reason I am healthy. Red wine is not the reason anybody is healthy. Now, if you eat a diet that is jam-packed of light box foods, okay, foods that are caloric, they fuel your body, but they do not support your body in burning that fuel. White rice, white sugar, white flour, animal foods, foods that provide fuel to run the machine, but not a lot of what I refer to as motor oil, the stuff that keeps the machine lubricated so that it can burn the fuel with minimal energy. If you eat light box foods all day, maybe red wine's the best thing you got going. I mean, maybe in comparison to what you're eating most of the time, red wine is the best thing that you're consuming. But that doesn't make red wine healthy. It just makes it healthier than the other Twinkies that you're eating. So it's in relative, and it's also neither here nor there if you're as healthy and happy as you want to be. At the point that you decide you want to be healthier and happier, that's when you say red wine's got to go. But before that, the Twinkies and the Big Macs or whatever that is. I mean, I want you to understand things so that you can make the choice for yourself. I don't want to hand you a diet. Who am I to tell you how to live your life? But I want to educate you so that you can decide. I'm not all the way to the one side of the spectrum because I like a scotch on occasion and I come home and have a beer. Now, I don't have six beers because I don't enjoy six beers every day. I haven't even had six beers. I don't even remember when. The reason I don't enjoy that is because that for me, that makes me feel crappy the next day and I want to get up and run because I have a value, I mean, a thing in my life that I enjoy, which is running. And that's why it's always so much more than just a diet or a fitness plan. It's always so much more. As a certified nutritionist, I didn't know what I was doing when I started out. I did what we do. We give a plan, but it's not taking into consideration anybody's lives in general. Now I do that. That's all I do. I mean, I really take into consideration. I want to know what you do in your life, what your social, you know, picture is. Do you out with friends? Let's work in the context of that so you're not turning your life over and missing out on the things that you love. So this podcast will help you figure that out, okay, for yourself, which you should. Back to the question of red wine. This woman, I swear to you, she said, I used to enjoy having a glass of red, this is, I'm not joking, okay, a glass of red wine a week, she said. But then people started talking about how good red wine was for you and that I should be drinking at least a glass a day. So then I started drinking a glass of red wine every day, and I didn't really enjoy it, but I just kept doing it. She, like, this biggest weight had lifted off her shoulders because I told her that red wine is pretty much a junk food. It's better than other things. It's better than scotch, but it's a light box food. It's alcohol. It's not, it has some stuff in it. I mean, a Big Mac has some stuff in it. It's just in the spectrum of healthy food versus not healthy. It's closer to the not healthy side. Let's face it. Okay. So is red wine. Okay. So is olive oil. Oh, with a Mediterranean diet. Please. 100% fat, everybody. Now, there's a lot of, you know, nutrition experts out there who are literally militant about no oil and causing people immense stress about no oil. Everyone's feeling crappy because they eat a little oil. Okay. Do I think oil is healthy? No, I do not. Okay. I don't think oil is healthy. Do I eat a little oil on occasion? Yes, I do. Because my life is such that I do sometimes, I have meals with my family or I go out to a restaurant and with friends, and that's the time that I do that. I found a balance that works for me. If you start letting these people dictate your life, you're going to be in trouble. And they know a lot. They're knowledgeable. They're incredible. They're pioneers. Guess what? I drew off a lot of them when I read my book. What I don't agree is the execution of the information. I think that I think that our natural design dictates foods that are better for us. I don't think oil fits in that picture. But now we're in the modern world and we go out with friends and there is value to the social aspect of our lives, of the tribe. That's, I think, also as natural to us as eating healthy food. And when you go out with your friends and you get great enjoyment from that, from being with them, well, if you consume a little oil during that meal, whoopty frickin' do. And it's not a nutritional opinion. I don't think oil is good for you. But I think that it's also not good for you to be so extreme in your brain and so pressured by this kind of information that you suffer stress as a result of it. Now, if it's not stressful for you to give up oil, then that's definitely the great move. I mean, for sure, right? I mean, I know ultra athletes who don't consume any oil. I think that's fantastic, but that's not stressful for them. They're ultra athletes. They know the value. For me, I'm not an ultra athlete, but I minimize it. I don't even eat it every day. I mean, literally, there's more days of the week I don't consume any oil. It's not healthy, but it's a treat. But I know that it is, okay? So this leads me to this poor woman, right? Okay, so this leads me to my, I'm going to say one more thing before I get into this, okay? I was teaching my daughter, I was teaching my daughter about meditation. Okay, she's 9, okay? So I'm not like, honey, let's sit down for 4 hours. But she was having trouble sleeping one night. And all I said was, just listen to your breath. Okay, and I'll say the same thing to you guys. You know, this is the whole thing about meditation. I got to get the pillow, and I got to get the shrine, and I got to put up the candle, and I got to for 30 minutes, but I don't have 30 minutes. Oh my God, it's all this stress. But if you listen to your breath one time a day, that's meditation. And if you build from there, you become a meditator. You don't need to be sitting in a room if you don't want to. You can be in your car meditating. You can be present. You can listen to things. On my runs, I try to just listen to the birds and listen to the wind in my ears. That's meditating. I'm present and aware. I'll get into that in a second. So anyway, I said to my daughter, I was like, if you can't sleep, don't worry about not sleeping. Just don't try to sleep. Just listen to your breath. And if your mind goes into another place, when you realize that it has, just listen to your breath again. Okay? So the next day I said, did that help at all? And she goes, well, kind of. I went to bed, but I got really mad because my mind kept thinking about other things. very interesting. I mean, she's nine and she was aware enough to say that, she got mad at herself. And I'm going to tell you, like, that I have the same thing. Like, on my runs, I'm trying to listen to my breath and my mind will wander about work and all these things coming up and all this kind of stuff. And I get frustrated. I'm like, God, why can't I focus? Now, what I told her, of course, is that she's literally like every single other person in the world. I mean, that's what happens. And there's no rule like, well, you should be able to do it for 15 seconds and then not do it. It's like your mind wanders. The thing is, when it does, come back to your breath. I mean, that's, so I'm working with her on that. But what I thought about is this. The reason why I advocate how I do on this podcast, the reason why at the end of the day, this is a philosophy of health podcast and that it's about thinking, okay? Power to the thinkers, remember? Is because if I get frustrated at the fact that my mind wanders, and this happens, like I'm running and I'm like, why can't I just freaking listen to the, and it wanders and then I come back and then it wanders and then I come back and then it wanders and then I come back. Now with more practice, I'm able to hang a little bit longer, but still, it's just, one of those things. But if you're following a diet or you're following a meditation plan or you're following a fitness plan and you just use that thing external to you as a measure of your success, then again, like I say, you will fail. I like to go deeper. I like to go, what I say, behind the veil. And what I do is I don't stop at I'm frustrated that my mind keeps wandering. I don't stop at why I can't stick to a diet. I'm a failure because I can't stick to a diet. I want to know why. I want to go behind the veil and I'm going to go, why can't I stick to a diet? Or how about this? Why am I attracted to diets? That's a good question. When my mind wanders, what am I drawing to? Is it a relationship that I need to work on? Is it work that I can, fix or take steps to fix? Is it the food? Is it stimulants? Let's think about it. Let's apply thought. Don't just stop at, well, I failed it because it didn't do what I was supposed to do and my mind wanders. I'm not doing it right. I'm not meditating right. I mean, this is an incredible opportunity for you. If you fail at a diet and then you go on another diet and you fail again, what a great opportunity to ask yourself why you went back to another diet, knowing that they all fail and that you're not happy doing it and that you gained all the weight. What a great thing. That if you use that advantage and you use this podcast to next time you go on a diet, even if you just continue to do it, do the diet. But ask yourself before you do it, why am I doing it? What do I really want from this diet? And if the pull of the diet is so powerful, the pull of the idea that maybe this one is the next one, this one is the one that's going to work for you, then do it. Be okay with that. Just go, this might be the one. And at some point you might realize, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to diet anymore. I don't want to put my body through this stress. And you'll make a change then, and you'll be ready to make a change, and it'll be right for you. But ask the questions. Ask the questions. Okay. One thing I wanted to mention also is that, and this comes, it'll come down to the title of the podcast. And that is that being present and aware is our natural design. If you think about the reason why I drew from the natural design in the book is because I can find a study that'll support anything I want to say. But I believe that there are true measures. There's things about our natural design, both mentally and physically, that dictate certain things about us. And I like to draw on those because it's sort of like you can run studies, but the fact of the matter is, and a lot of times studies come out and I'm just like, yeah, I already knew that. I mean, I don't, I make fun of studies in this podcast sometimes because they're like obvious. And there's like, this group of people in the world, I'm one of them who've like known these things for years. And now we've got another study to tell us, I made a joke about a journal, the stuff we already know and have known for years. But who cares? We're living our lives and I'm listen up here. You're going to be fine. Don't bog down with studies. I can find you a study that tells you that whatever you're consuming is good for you, but it's not going to serve you. Okay. It's not going to serve you if it's not in line with who you are truly. Okay. That's a fact. Whether the food is good or not, if it's in conflict with your values, it's not going to serve you. Period. Why a little oil might be okay for you. Maybe not nutritionally, but mentally, gives you a little bit of pleasure, offloads the stress. the red wine once a week for this woman was a. I said, why'd you drink red wine once a week? Because she goes, because I enjoyed it and it relaxed me. And look what it turned into, a source of stress for her, because some jackass told her that you got to drink red wine all the time because it's high in antioxidants. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Eat grapes. Eat grapes. Okay. Being a present aware is our natural design. And what I was thinking about it is like in the wild, it's a matter of survival. And this is leading directly into my topic for this week. It is a matter of survival. When you're in the forest, when we were, and you're walking around, you have to pay attention to the terrain. You have to watch out for holes. You have to watch out for predators. You have to pay attention to what you're doing. It's literally a matter of survival. Okay. Even to this day, I run on trails often and I have to pay. I mean, my mind to water, but the fact of the matter is I don't have to try to meditate. I have to come back to present. I have to look at the road ahead of me because I have hurt my feet by not paying attention. And that's why I started to move into more of the barefoot running realm, because I can feel the ground and it does keep me present. I use it as a practice. The more I can feel the ground, the more I have to be present because I have to pay attention to rocks and sticks and holes and things like that. It is a natural design for us. We didn't evolve thinking about the report that we have to do in a week or someone's birthday that we forgot, right? I mean, that's dogs aren't thinking about, you know, God, I got to pick up some food. Jeez, I'm going to be out of food in the next week. I got to, you know, or wild animals, even better yet. They're like, I'm hungry. I got to eat. I'm going to go find food right now here. In fact, a friend of mine told me years ago, I just thought of this, he saw a film of a dog pushing a rock with its nose, and somebody had recorded a voiceover as if this was what the dog was thinking at the time, and so you're thinking there's going to be some like brilliant thing, and all the dog is thinking is, I'm pushing a rock, I'm pushing a rock, I'm pushing a rock, I'm pushing a rock. It's being present in the moment, and how much more to me, living in the world, the more we can try to be present, the more we enjoy what is happening to us in the moment. It's fun to think about memories. It's fun to get lost in those things, but there is a balance there and a point that we are lost in those things and even lost in the thoughts of negativity and how crappy we are and how we can't stick to diets and how we're fat and how we're ugly and all the things that happen. And the more we can be present and come back to our breath and appreciate what we have in the moment, the better we do, period, end of story, period. Okay? In a sense, what's happened to us in the modern world is in the wild, like I said, we'd have to be present. I mean, we would have to pay attention to what was going on in the present. In the modern world, we've created this world for us. And I always say we're a natural species in an unnatural world. How do we negotiate that? Well, in the unnatural world that we've created, we have actually enabled ourselves to check out all the time, in a sense. Like I know that people in over 50 countries listen to this, so I can't speak to everybody that's listening to this. But what I can say is, for the most part, we have the ability to check out, and we can sit on a couch and check out with a movie for 2 hours and get deep, deep into that movie because we don't have to. We're in shelter. We're not going to get attacked by a lion. Chances are, unless you're watching the movie literally in a zoo in a lion cage, in which case, survival of the fittest. Honestly, it's time for you to go. But if you're just in your house watching a movie or listening to music, you can check out, and that's okay. That's okay. I mean, everybody needs to check out. The question is, what is your balance of check out versus paying attention to your life, paying attention to what is natural for you and the needs that you have? You have immediate needs. If your body is not healthy right now, if you're holding on to extra weight, if you're suffering from inflammation, if you have diabetes, if you're out of balance in any way, your body has immediate needs right now. It probably has deficiencies. It probably has needs and even emotional and mental needs that if you're checking out from those things, you're not attending to them. You're not attending to them. Now, sometimes we check out on purpose, don't we? We need a break sometimes. I get it. Living in the modern world can be a wonderful thing, but it can also be very, very difficult, okay? And I understand that. But if you want to make long-term change in your life, there is a time where you need to check back in. Sometimes you need to check back in. I mean, for me, like when I'm going on my easy run, sometimes I go long distances. I did 18 miles yesterday, and it's easy. I will tell you that there are times where I have to pay attention just to keep myself going slowly. And I was noticing on this run the other day, which was not an easy day. So that's an easy day, right? Easy day, I'm literally having to make an effort to stay slow, because as soon as my mind starts wandering into work and stress, and then I start speeding up, right? Because it's all that, like, your body goes into survival mode. It's like jacking up. It's like, okay, it's go time, right? So I have to literally pay attention for that. And thank goodness that I do, because otherwise that's, right, setting myself up for injury, too much stress. It's an easy run. I ran 18 miles yesterday. Today I went for 6. So today was my easy run to recover. If I pushed it today, that's setting myself up for injury. But one thing I noticed the other day, which was really fascinating for me, was that I was on an interval run. So I started with like a mile warm up, and then I went for like 2 miles at a fast pace. Fast for me, okay, 8 minute miles. I know some guys running 6 minute miles, or women, you know, like blowing by me. Fine, okay, good on you. Seriously, I'm jealous. But anyhow, and then I stop for, and I jog for a mile, and then I go back to 2 miles at 8 minute pace. That's an interval run. What I was noticing is that I felt fatigue, and I play this little game where I just, instead of being worried by the fatigue, instead of being stressed by the fatigue, am I going to be able to make it? Am I not in good enough shape to do all this kind of stuff? I just made an effort to feel the fatigue even greater. I really was like, where is that hurting? Where is that hurting? Where is that hurting? Where is that? Where am I fatigued? My stomach feels. And I got really deep into it. And I literally noticed that as I got deep into feeling it, my body relaxed and I was able to run faster. I mean, literally, I was able to run faster. And as soon as my mind would sweep back into the worry, am I going to get injured? Am I going to get it? And all, then I would slow down and I would tense up, which ironically is, of course, setting me up for injury more than my body staying relaxed, right? And so it was an interesting thing that I'm exploring for myself, but it was the idea that I've touched upon before. But it's the idea of, like, on top of the thoughts that we already have, we don't want to pile on additional thoughts of, you know, why I'm stupid for thinking that in the first place. It's like, we don't need that. Accept that you have negative thoughts. Accept that sometimes you have discomfort. And accept that you have pain. And when you feel it, you try to change it. I get it. But staying present to that and relaxing around it and allowing yourself to feel that is engaging in life more fully. And that practice of engaging in life more fully is what leads to engaging life fully in all parts of your life, being with family, being with friends, the work that you do, the food that you eat, the way you move your body. It's engaging. I mean, I'm present to the fatigue. I'm present. And actually all the better, because I've injured myself by not paying attention to my body. By just, I got to run the plan. The plan says I'm supposed to run 6 miles fast today, so I better stick to that. Well, that was when my Achilles ruptured. That was when my Achilles tendon ruptured, because I was fatigued. I was exhausted. I was drinking a lot of coffee. Didn't even realize it until after the injury. And I looked back and went, my God, I'm drinking 5 cups of coffee a day. So after that, and since then, I've backed off to, you know, a single espresso in the morning and one usually when I'm doing this podcast. Milk that for all it's worth. But it's paying attention. When you're present, then when I'm present with my body, I'm less worried about the worry of being of fatigue and pain and the actual pain and fatigue, so that I can better assess where I'm at in that process and back off if I feel like it's a you know, getting into the danger zone. And in doing that, I relaxed. My body literally relaxed and I was able to run more fluidly. Anyway, I thought that was interesting to me. Okay. War of the Worlds. Here we go. Do you see how I talk about stuff like for most of the podcast, and then like the last minute I'm like, "War of the Worlds, there's War of the Worlds," and it's done. But that's not true. It's all about War of the Worlds. Here's what I mean by War of the Worlds. There is a tension inherent in a natural being living in an unnatural world. The world that our bodies are designed for is at odds with the body, with the world that we have created around us. Let me say that one more time, a little clearer. The world that our body is designed to live in is at odds with the world that our minds and our brains created. We are a natural species. We're an animal, and we're living in a very, very non-animal world, one in which our immediate needs of survival are rarely threatened. We're not up against lions. We've removed ourselves from the food chain. We're not at threat from some wild animal attacking us. Most of us, thank goodness, have access to as many calories as we could ever need and more. And of course, calories that are devoid of any nutrition that would naturally occur with those calories in the modern world. That's at odds. We are at odds in a world where our bodies are designed to move when necessary, to find shelter, to find food, to escape predators. That's how we're designed. But in the modern world, we can literally never have to move. We can drive through a drive-thru and reach our arm out and grab a bag that is so full of calories, it's almost ridiculous. There is an inherent tension in the world that we are designed to live in and the world that we are living in. And that is the war of the worlds. And a lot of the conflict that we feel day to day is because of that tension. There is a natural state of movement, as I said. And the unnatural reality of not needing to move. Or we're stressed by movement, right? We're stressed by movement. Like the idea of going to a gym is kind of a pain in the ass. Well, in the wild, we would get up and move because we had to move. There's no wild animal carves out time to go for a jog. Animals move when they have to move. That's what we would do. Now we go, well, I'm sitting at a desk all day. I got to get my workout in. I'm going to get on a treadmill. I'm going to turn that machine on. And the body's like, we're not going anywhere. You know that, right? We're not going anywhere. There's nowhere. You're not going anywhere. And we just keep pushing it ahead. Now, that's necessary in the modern world. The difficulty for me starting a long run, by the way, stems in part from the fact that I'm naturally designed to move when necessary in the need of, like I said, shelter, food, danger. I don't want to get up on a Sunday morning and run for three hours like I did yesterday. I get up, I'm in bed, I'm cozy, I'm next to my wife, I'm like, this is paradise, and I get out of bed in spite of myself. So the question is why? Well, the question of why is because I have thought about it. And in my life, training for a marathon gives me pleasure. There are other times where I sleep in with my wife, for instance. There are other parts of my life that running does well for me. It is in my time to meditate. It is my time to be alone with my thoughts. It is my time to recalibrate. That affects all the other parts of my life. So what I need to do to get myself out of that bed isn't a physical, natural design need. It's my mind saying, I don't feel like this in the moment, but I know that after I'm done, I will feel really good and that this is in line with my values. And that's what it takes in order to get my ass out there for an 18-miler. This is what it is. Now, what I did is I ran 18 miles and met my wife at a restaurant. And we had at the wellness center at the Stanford Inn, there's a restaurant. We had breakfast. But that's what it takes. But the tension between the natural and the unnatural, I mean, that's what I'm getting at. There is a drive in us to consume natural food. I'll put it this way. There's a drive in us to consume food. But the food that we are driven to consume is the food that we would find in the natural world, which is never going to be light box. In nature, there's never a refined plant. In nature, there's never an animal that's been bred in a pen that cannot move and that's fed unnatural food and clean and dirty water and injected with hormones and antibiotics. Doesn't exist. In nature, we would be presented with food that was the best we could find. We'd find plants. If they were available, we'd eat them. If we couldn't find enough plants, we'd go chase down an animal. Very different plants and very different animals from what we're faced today. We're surrounded by unnatural food. Animals are unnatural in the modern world, and many plants are unnatural in the modern world. refined, morphed, cooked, dried, oil extracted, right? And like I said before, we have a natural state of awareness. We have a natural, that's a natural state for us, is to be, I believe, and I'm going to argue, to be present, to be in emotional and physical and mental balance with the external world is a natural state for us. But what we've done in the modern world is we've created this thing where we strive, we've kind of convinced ourselves that we need external things to make us happy, that the thing is going to make us happy instead of happiness being a state of natural design for us. That happiness comes, you don't need all the things that we're convinced and sold. We've created a modern world that sells us happiness. I mean, in a sense, that's what a diet ought. It's a sell. You pay this money for this diet, and it's gonna buy, you just bought yourself happiness. And then we wonder why that doesn't work, because that's at odds with our natural design. There's an inherent tension between our natural design and these things that are presented to us as a key to deliver us. It's not gonna deliver. I found this quote by Søren Kierkegaard, a philosopher that I studied at UCLA when I that's what I studied, philosophy. And he said, a man who as a physical being is always turned toward the outside, thinking that his happiness lies outside him, finally turns inward and discovers that the source is within him. The source of your happiness is within you. The source of your health is within you. Now, as much as I want to kick my own ass for quoting Kierkegaard in my podcast, God, maybe I'll edit that out. According to Søren Kierkegaard, who said, and I quote, but it's the fact. It's how we're designed. It comes from within. And we have this tension where we know that on some level. And this is why here I come back again, right? You were thinking, when is he going to talk about that annoying first task of writing who you are in the present tense? That person it's there already. It's there. And every time you live that's not every way that you live that's not in accordance with your natural design, there's inherent tension there. It's that world versus this world. It's this world versus that world. It's the inner world of our bodies and minds and the external world. We're at war with those worlds. We go into that world and there's an ongoing battle. And that battle presents and manifests in us in a number of ways. I mean, ultimately, that battle, that tension manifests in cancer, heart disease, stroke, Alzheimer's, and, you know, arthritis, bursitis, tendonitis, plantar fasciitis. I mean, that's how this tension, there's a give. At some point, the war of the worlds gives and people lose. The world's losing, our earth is losing, and our bodies are losing because there's a tension. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was what I call the tension of should. The tension of should. Because if you think about our natural design and you think about how we would be behaving in the wild, we would take what we could get. We would take what we could get. When we found a calorie source, we would eat it because we need to survive and our bodies are designed to survive. And again, we'd eat plants, they'd be whole plants because that's all there is, plants. If we didn't have plants, we'd go, you know, get an animal. That's paleo. You want to talk about paleo? I think everybody should be paleo. I think in the absence of whole plants, you should eat an animal. So if anybody listening here cannot get access to whole plants, then the next best thing would be animal foods. And wild animal foods would be the best. That's paleo. Paleo isn't skipping over the whole plants and eating animals three times a day. That's not how we would exist. Most of us have access to whole plants. And that's what I do 100% of the time. But I took my time to get there. So if the idea of that is stressful for you, then you're not. That's okay. That's just your level. Start adding things in. Okay? You like having chicken and white rice? That's your favorite meal? Gives you pleasure? Eat chicken and white rice. But maybe you have a couple, you know, cuts of cucumber, a little bit of green salad with it, because you know that adding in heavy box foods is going to make you healthier and happier over time. Not in 3 weeks. And the act of adding a little salad in, there's power in that act well beyond the nutritional value of the salad. And that is that you're starting to take care of yourself. And you're not adding stress to your life by trying to be healthy. You're not saying, I'm going to be healthier and happier, so I'm going to stress the crap out of myself. That'll help. Because you're already stressed with work and your relationships and money and all these kinds of things that add to our stress. And that stress weakens the immune system and weakens digestion and raises blood pressure, raises cholesterol, adds fat around the midsection. But I'm going to add to that stress by going on a diet. I'm going to add on that because I want to lose weight. So I'm going to add to the stress of my life. And I'm going to miss out on social engagement with my friends because I can't eat. I have a list. I have a restrictive list of what I'm allowed to eat and not, that I made for myself. In the wild, we would take what we could get. We would find the best calorie source we could have. Here's the War of the Worlds. Ready? In the modern world, we are presented with food that is totally unnatural. We know that. In the modern world, we are presented with a reality that we never have to move our bodies. But the fact of the matter is, we deep down know that we should. And that is the tension of should. It is that if every time we grab for a light box food, every time we grab for white rice, white flour, and we might enjoy that, out of the corner of our eye, we go, I probably should be doing that. Every time we skip a workout, every time we skip moving our bodies in any way, we think, I probably should be exercising more. Every time you say to yourself, I probably should be doing something, that's the tension of should. That's the tension of should. And that tension is the War of the Worlds. It's the war between what you are designed to do and what you are doing. What you are doing is usually the modern world presenting us with stuff that, you know, we don't, again, you don't have to, none of you listening to this right now have to move your bodies in any real meaningful way. I would say, I mean, I don't know how many people, but if you have to walk down, you know, 3 miles to go get your food, then you do. But most people don't. They can get in their cars or they can get on a bus or subway or and go somewhere to get something. Or they can order takeout. They don't even have to get off their couch barely. But we know we should. On some level, we know we should. On some level, we know that our bodies are designed to move. On some level, we know that we're not supposed to have extra fat on our midsection. On some level, we know we're supposed to be happy. On some level, we know we're supposed to have energy and not be sick all the time. On some level, we know we're supposed to be eating food that even though somebody told us we need protein above all else, somewhere deep down, we know that eating kale, which is 50% protein, by the way, is probably something that is really good for us and that we should be doing that. Now, I'm the small step advocate. So am I going to tell you that the tension of should be equated with you going all, you know, turning your life upside down? Of course not. But I'd like you to be aware that when you are in tension, in conflict, when there is a war between you and the modern world, the best way to figure that out, to negotiate that is to first be aware of that. And then you can say, I feel like I should be moving my body. So how can I move my body in a way that isn't going to make me even more stressed and create even more tension? And that might be walking down the hallway. I mean, look at our feet. I was thinking about this. Our feet are like, you know, the design of our feet, which is, by the way, is unbelievable. Look how many bones are in your foot. It's insane. Look up how many nerve endings are on the bottom of your feet. Why? Because we're designed to read the terrain with our feet. I mean, we walk around and our feet are literally feeling where we go. I mean, this is the draw of barefoot running. I mean, this is why I was drawn to it, because it was like you feel. I mean, you feel and you become present because you have to, not because you have to make some effort to meditate in a room. You're present when you run barefoot because you're there. You've got no choice. It's not even a choice. You're not like, I really should. It's like, no, you're just there. You're in the pocket. You're in the zone. I mean, the zone that people refer to, he's in the zone. That's present. That's just, you're in the zone. You're present. Our feet are designed to read terrain. That's how they're designed. Look what we do now. We get up in the morning and our feet are like, okay, game on. You put your feet on the ground out of the bed and your feet are like, okay, all right, I'm feeling some soft here. I think we're okay. We're good. And all of a sudden, boom, they're covered. And the foot's like, hey, you know, and just no feet. Feet are gone, padded, separated, removed, covered, smashed, cramped, poor feet. Feet are in there just going, you know, I was going to like check stuff out for you. What do you not trust me? Why don't you trust me? And then we have Nike going, you need these shoes. They're better for you. You need arch support. Nike knows better than we do. Okay? Nike knows better. I hope I get a Nike sponsorship. I think I will. I think I'm in line for Nike. I'm waiting. I'm still waiting on Hostess. They have not come. I really don't understand. I mentioned Twinkies like a million times. You'd think that they would just be like, we're throwing you dough. No pun intended. Dough. Mm. That may be the best joke I got for this one. I'm sorry. So that's the feet. I mean, that's indicative of everything we do. We're removing ourselves from what's natural. The question is, what extent are you doing that? Okay. How many people here, show of hands, have been up in the middle of the night with stress and worry about something? Okay. Oftentimes, by the way, something that you can't do anything about at that moment, right? I have many times, you know, it's like, but think about it for a second. That is how powerful this war is. The unnatural world is keeping you up against all desires that your body has and needs to sleep. I mean, sleep is one of the most basic needs that our bodies have. And you have the ability of thinking about something that is you cannot even do right now. You in the middle of the night, 2 a.m., there's nothing you can do about it. And you're going to stay up because you've created this stress for you. And your body is going, it responds, it goes into stress mode. So your body's essentially going, okay, I got the message. We're in stress. Okay, game on. I'm in. I'm ready to go. What do we got? What do we have? Shelter? Okay, so it can't be that. I don't see any lions. There's no tigers. Okay. All right. We're in stress. I can feel it. I know you're telling me we're in stress. I'm up. We're dealing with this. I had a lot of food today, so I don't really know. There's no famine here. What's going on? Okay. Got food. Okay, good. Wait, what? You have a report due next week? You just kept me up because we have a report due next week. That's really what I've just slowed my digestion down and my immune system's weakened because this is the fourth night in a row that you've done this to me. And now I'm susceptible to sickness and disease because you have a report due next week. I don't even know what a report is. I need to find food and I need to make sure that we have shelter and that our temperature is kind of kept okay and that we don't get eaten by a lion. That report isn't doing any of those. I need to sleep. Can you please leave me alone so I can sleep? I mean, look what we have done. We're responsible for this. It's not like we didn't get, you know, drop lifted into a modern world and we woke up and go, oh my God, like we created this over time. I don't know why. I don't even care. What I want to know is how do we negotiate this in a better way? How do we negotiate this unnatural world in a better way? I mean, the fact of the matter is the bummer thing about even this podcast and my book is we're not even designed to think about our health. I mean, we're in the wild, we would find the best calorie source we could find. We would move our bodies to get it, and that's it. If we didn't have this thing, we would find that thing. If we didn't find that thing, we would find the other thing. We don't choose that way. In the modern world, we're faced with choice. Everybody here is making a choice whether you reach for the Twinkie or you reach for the kale or the lettuce or the banana. You're making a choice whether you were raised that way and you just ate, you know, sausage and bacon and eggs all day, and that's what you're used to. You're still choosing that today. Why? Because there's another choice out there. I mean, by definition. I mean, nobody that I know or have ever met has no other choice than to get bacon and eggs every day. That's a choice you make, and you know it. You know it deep down because that's the design. It's in conflict with your design. Because there are better options available to you and you're not taking those options. Now, the question is, why not? Well, because you're used to food and it gives you comfort and you have nostalgia and tradition around it and ritual, and that's okay, especially okay if you're as healthy and happy as you want to be. The tension exists when you're not. And the other tension I would say is that we have a natural design to be healthy and happy. So It's War of the Worlds. War of the Worlds. We can survive. I mean, we have to apply thought. And I've said this before, power to the thinkers. Rarely in the modern world are we ever faced with an actual reality of life and death, where the stress that we're under is proportional to the danger that we're facing. Rare does that happen. And yet we're in chronic stress. We're stressed all the time. And rarely are those things, life and death, the very things that our bodies go into stress mode by design to deal with. And we're faced with that stuff all the time. It's not real. I mean, the body is ready for lion, and it knows what to do in the face of a lion, and it knows what to do in the face of famine. It goes into go mode. It doesn't equate when in the modern world we're stressed by a report we have to do or by we have to talk to somebody about something that's uncomfortable for us, and it creates this massive amount of stress. And those are the two worlds that are constantly butting heads. Constantly butting heads. And the fact of the matter is this. When you decide, if you decide, that you want to be healthier and happier in your life, and you want to begin by taking small steps because you heard this podcast, and or you read my book, or you've worked with me, and it's time for you to do it for real, and you begin the transition of being in the unnatural state of having to think about it. I mean, the fact of the matter is when you begin to transition yourself to health and happiness, you have to start thinking about it. The irony, of course, is thinking about it is even unnatural because we're not designed to think about it. I mean, I just said we're not designed to think about it, and yet to transition yourself into greater health and happiness, you have to think about it. Because if you're going to live in the modern world, there's no other option. You have to be aware. You have to pay attention to it. But the beauty of it is you can continue that transition if you do it right, and you do it with thought, and you do it with small steps. You eventually get through the transition, and this is what I do. I shepherd people through this transition to where you don't think about it anymore, to where you become a more natural being in this still unnatural world. Essentially, the question of health and happiness in this world is, how much of a natural being are you in this unnatural world? And if you want to change for the better, you become even more of a natural being in this unnatural world. Some people are totally unnatural in this unnatural world. And they exhibit the very same traits that the world exhibits. Waste and just, you know, not efficient and sick. And then there's people who are living pretty darn naturally, still in the context of the unnatural world. And they're the ones that are doing better. And there's a lot of gray area in between. The question is, how natural do you want to be? How natural can you be and still live the life that you want to live? We have to think about it. Our bodies essentially are still in the wild. Our bodies have not adapted, in a sense, to this unnatural world. Our bodies certainly haven't adapted to the craziness of the food that we're putting in it. Our bodies don't understand, to this day, whey protein shakes. Our bodies don't understand soy protein isolate. Our bodies don't understand olive oil. We can't afford to wait around for our bodies to adapt. That's years and years and years, probably thousands of years. What we have to do is work with our minds to accelerate our minds to be able to negotiate this world given how it is. Now, the beauty of it, of course, is the more natural we become, the more natural the world becomes. The more natural the world becomes, the better the world for everyone. So again, it comes down to you. Your actions affect the rest of the world. No matter what you're doing, no matter how unnatural or natural, you affect the people in your lives. Those people affect other people. Those people affect other people. And there it is. I mean, we spend so much time trying to figure out why we do what we do. Well, I just eat this way because I act this way because it's my parents. If we devoted half the energy that we devote right now to figuring out why we act the way we act, to how, even if you don't change the way you act, just thinking about how could I act differently that would be more in line with who I am. Remember value added task from last episode. If we devoted even 5 minutes of that energy to, I'm acting this way, I get it, fine. I act this way because my mom acted this way, fine, whatever. But what would it look like if I was acting according to who I want to be? How's that? I mean, this is how we get out of this. At the end of the day, and I will leave you with this. We have a war of the worlds. But the way to get out of this is to find peace. Is to figure out a way to live peacefully in this world. Because we're not leaving it. You're not going to live in the forest. You're not going to go live in the mountains. Most of us listening to this podcast, this technology and this laptop and this iPod and this iPhone that you're listening to this on is indicative of the fact that we're all, including me, living in this unnatural world. But the way that we can move through this world in a way that is minimally stressful to us and therefore minimally stressful to the rest of the world is that we make peace with ourselves little by little, and we make peace by doing that with the modern world that we've created. The more natural you become, the less you have to think about yourself in the modern world. The heavier box foods that you eat, the less you have to think about food. The more you move your body day to day, the less you have to think about, you know, carving out 30 minutes for exercise. Think about making a peace offering with your body and understanding that your body is just still living in the wild. It doesn't know what is going on most of the time. And it's doing the best it can. It deserves so much support. And I would say so much gratitude. And I don't care if you look down right now and see a big gut. Your body is doing the best it can. Your body has done nothing wrong. It is doing, even with that gut, exactly what it is designed to do. It is begging you for peace. It is begging you for support. It is begging you for help. In when it gets sick, it is asking you to support it because it is totally uncomfortable living in the world that we've created for ourselves. And it doesn't want to be at war with this world. It just needs help to do its job better. And this doesn't come with a self-help poster of think positive. This comes with serious thought. This comes with contemplation about who we are as a species and who we are as individuals. To make yourself better is first and foremost. You want to make the world a better place, take small steps to make your world a better place. Your world. The more people who make their own individual worlds a better place, the better the entire world becomes. And I don't want to hand you something, some prescription for health and happiness that I think is the way you should live. What I want to hand you with this podcast is a way of thinking about yourself so that you can fill in the blanks for how you want to live, no matter what that is. You need to make peace with yourselves, and you need to understand that your body is struggling. For most of us, there is a war at hand, a war between the natural design of our bodies and the unnatural world we're living in. How well you make peace, how well you settle the sides so that they can find a compromise and a middle ground so that both worlds can continue with as minimal damage to both sides as possible will determine how well you live your life. And the lives of all the people that you affect. I'm going to leave you there. Okay? Next week. I'm coming back next week, whether you like it or not. Okay? In the meantime, be well.
When you sleep, sleep unbroken sleep. Fall to a place where all is sweet. slowly drifting there. And when you dream, dream of simple things. Dream of the dream of kings and queens. Dream of found things. And your sweet way so silent and safe. Hope I will always be what you want me to be.